ceasefire or no ceasefire, Russia's shelling of Aleppo continued over the weekend as Saudi Arabia and Turkey consider sending ground forces into Syria. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFERL. Joining me in the studio is Pavel Butorin, managing editor of RFRL's Russian language television program, Current Time. Welcome, Pavel.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. So anybody who is expecting Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev to make conciliatory noises at the Munich Security Conference must have been severely disappointed. Not only is Russia's bombing campaign in Aleppo continuing, but now Turkey and Saudi Arabia are threatening to send in ground troops, something Moscow says could lead to a global conflict. All in all, a pretty frightening moment. Your thoughts, Pavel, and how is Current Time planning to tackle this story?
This is a pretty frightening moment indeed. Reporter Shahida Yakub is currently in Kilis, Turkey, near the Syrian border. So you can follow our website for her stand-up reports from the area. And this is a very fluid, rapidly evolving situation. So, but here's what we know now. Prime Minister Ahmet Davutoglu confirmed that the Turkish forces have shelled a Turkish militia targets in a suburb of Aleppo Azaz, which is just 6 kilometers from the border. And Syria has claimed that some Turkish ground troops have already crossed the border. Turkey has, of course, denied any such reports, and the Turkish defense minister also said that his country was not considering deploying troops there. We also know that Syria has complained to the United Nations, accusing Turkey of allowing its soldiers to enter Syria. It urged the UN to take action against Turkish shelling in northern Syria, calling it a violation of sovereignty, and which is definitely a move that is bound to be supported by Russia.
Right.
Speaking of Russia, according to a recent poll by the independent Russian pollster Levada, a majority of Russians support the continuation of Russian military operations in Syria. The same poll, however, showed that few respondents knew what exactly Russia was doing in Syria.
It's par for the course. And the costs of this have not come home to Russia at all right now. This is a pretty cost-free war for them, and politically speaking.
That's exactly right.
One of the other things that's jumping out at me is I noticed in Dmitry Medvedev's interview with Time magazine over the weekend, he said regarding sanctions, he said, we're not going to ask for sanctions to be lifted. The West is going to come to us, which reinforced a point I made in the Daily Vertical this morning, that Russia's basically engaging in extortion here. They're basically making the refugee crisis worse in Europe by continuing to bomb Aleppo, hitting civilian targets, financing xenophobic parties in Europe, and creating this nightmare for the EU. And basically, the unsaid thing, I think, is, we're not going to stop till you lift sanctions. I mean, it looks like they're playing a very, but this is a very deadly game. If Saudi Arabia and Turkey get involved in this, there is a chance that this can turn into a global conflict, no?
But speaking of Medvedev, this is exactly the kind of rhetoric that the Russian leadership is selling to its population. You know, it's almost, you know, they started to believe a form of reality that they have created for the public.
Yeah. So, this confidence in Syria that Russia seems to be exhibiting now is not replicated on the home front, I would say. You noted that poll, but I'm also seeing signs that the elite's getting very nervous about the upcoming election season. The Duma election's coming up in September. Something I saw that caught my eye, according to in domestic politics, was a report in Izvestia today. The four current parliamentary parties, United Russia, the Communists, the Liberal Democrats, and A Just Russia, have agreed not to compete against each other in single-mandate districts in September's elections to the State Duma. They're basically going to divvy up these single-mandate districts to the Duma, which would if they competed against each other, other parties might be able to get in. They basically are assuring that this isn't going to happen. To me, this is a sign that the Kremlin is, in fact, despite its bluster, pretty damn nervous about the Duma elections in September, no?
Well, this deal reminds me of some kind of feudal arrangement where the king or the czar, you know, which is, in this case, the presidential administration, divvies up the country's land among his vassals, you know, and it seems that in this case Russia is now completely giving up on any effort to maintain even a semblance of parliamentarianism, of parliamentary political struggle. So, yeah, No, I understand this deal is still in the works, but it's
still in the works. But it wouldn't have gotten published in Izvestia if it wasn't serious. So noted on his Facebook page, Valery Solovay, the MGMU professor, the professor at the Moscow State Institute of International Relations, very outspoken, said there's kind of a debate in the elite right now that everybody understands that the economic crisis is going to continue, get worse, and be potentially destabilizing. And there's a bit of a disagreement over whether they should allow the normal political process, which is pretty much just theater at this point, mm-hmm. to continue.
It has been for some time.
But they're even worried about even allowing that, because theater can get out of control. I think they're getting very worried about the September Duma elections, I think. I think that much.
That's a sign of it, for sure.
Yeah. What else do you got going on Current Time this week?
We're planning to interview Vera Savchenko, the sister of Nadia Savchenko, the Ukrainian pilot now in jail in Russia. So I'm hoping she'll make some news. We're expecting to get some reactions from Ukraine about the joint declaration of Pope Francis and Patriarch Kirill of Moscow. So there's been some criticism in Ukraine that the joint declaration addressing the conflict in Ukraine sort of shifted the blame to Ukraine itself, and there's overtones that indicate that, you know, the Ukrainian conflict is sort of, you know, the product of, you know,
it's a civil war.
Yeah. Exactly. That's something that Ukraine doesn't
Ukraine's are pretty adamant, and correctly so, that this is Russian aggression. It's anything but a civil war. There was a lot of nervousness in Ukraine in advance of Pope Francis and Patriarch Kirill's meeting in Cuba last week, that potentially something like this could happen, and it seems that those fears were very well founded indeed. Anything else to add?
No.
Okay.
That's it.
Then we can edit that part. Right. And on that note, we'll wrap it up. That's all we have time for today. You've been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories making news in Russia. We do this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical Podcast. Joining me in the studio has been Pavel Butorin, managing editor of RFRL's Russian language television program, Current Time, which you can watch at www.currenttime.tv. Join us again next week, and now, as always, I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.